I'm Graham Glynn, Assistant Provost and Executive Director for Teaching, Learning plus Technology at Stony Brook University, and this is Innovations in Education. In our show, we feature faculty and staff using innovative approaches and best practices in teaching and applications of educational technology that have a positive effect on student learning. In today's show, I'm joined by Dr. Lawrence Reagan from the Penn State World Campus, who is the Director of Faculty Development. Larry has been a special guest on the show because he's a keynote speaker in our Innovations in Education conference today. Larry, welcome to the show.
My pleasure. Thank you for the invite.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you do at Penn State University?
Well, my role, first of all, in the World Campus is to provide the systems and services, the activities that help our faculty get prepared for teaching online. Penn State's World Campus is our virtual portal, if you will. Programs and courses get delivered to students who aren't on campus or at a geographic location. So our courses require a lot of faculty. We have about 350 courses, which require training for a lot of individuals who may be for the first time having an online experience. And so my role is to help them be prepared. My belief and the philosophy we work from is if our faculty succeed, if they're prepared with the skill sets, then our learners have a good experience, and that's a win-win for everyone.
Okay. So you mentioned online teaching, and we're mostly all aware of classroom teaching. What's the difference between online teaching and blended teaching?
Well, if you think of it, it's on a continuum. We've got face-to-face, which we're all familiar with. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows their roles and responsibilities. The faculty member walks in, and they've got some authority. The students are there to learn, and we have some established relationships. On the other end of the continuum, we have the online environment. In this environment, some of those roles are less defined, and so there's some structure that has to be imposed. Maybe some more communications for the both the faculty and the learners about what their roles and responsibilities are. This blended piece is really, in my mind, part of the most exciting merging or confluence of these two domains, because now we have the ability to take the value of the face-to-face experience, mm-hmm. where we could be sharing, having interactions and exchanges, with the power of the online environment, and we bring those two together in a blended model. And there are some challenges because it's a bit more complex to get each of those dimensions right. So we want to pull the very best from the online and the very best from face-to-face and do an instructional design approach that allows us to capitalize on those best pieces, if you will, and provide a learning environment that's a really rich experience for both the instructor and primarily for the students. So, I think, in my opinion, blended has the capability of being the best of both worlds.
So if you're planning on doing a blended course, you have to decide what parts of that course are going to be live in front of the students and what parts work well online. Do you have some general ideas how to make that choice?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'd say it's something that comes with a bit of practice. We try to encourage faculty not to be too concerned with getting exactly right the first time out. It's probably not going to happen. The other thing we don't want to have happen is that you take what you do face-to-face and now repeat that in the online environment. Mm-hmm. So if you think about what works well in face-to-face, it's probably the opportunity for interaction, communications, spontaneous dialogue. It's a chance where you can sort of challenge and really delve into some deeper issues in a more just-in-time methodology. The online environment gives you the ability to think through it. Yeah, that's the opportunity to step back, reflect a bit on an exchange, but also work through the content. So what we try not to have faculty do is to go in the face-to-face and begin delivering large volumes of content right. that they might be tempted to do, because mm-hmm. that's sort of a natural space. By asking them to think about how can we get that course content into a delivery mode that allows the student to work through it at their own pace, then when we come together, when we have them face-to-face, what do you want to do differently that allows you and the students to explore that material a little more richly? And that's I think, was where we really begin to maximize on that blended environment.
So you can use the online to provide content for the students to essentially prepare for some of the face-to-face sessions where you do dynamic group-based work or interactions and so on like that.
Yeah, and you know, we could do both of these pieces and parts, almost everything you can do in the online environment or in the face-to-face environment. For example, you mentioned teamwork and you mentioned the interactions. We can still design those in the online environment, but they take on a different flavor. They have a different dynamic. There's a reason why, even in the field of online education, we have annual face-to-face gatherings. So people always ask me, well, why do you have to get together if you're all about online?
Now, are you talking about the students getting together?
Well, I'm using this as an example. We get together in a face-to-face conference, annual conferences, for specific reasons. We have networking opportunities. We have social exchanges. So what I'm saying is, in the online environment, we want to think about what it does really well. But then what do you do with the students when you have them in the face-to-face environment? How can you capitalize on that aspect? And that takes, that's where if you get access to an instructional designer to talk through what your objectives are in your course, what are you trying to achieve in this section of the course, allow a colleague perhaps, or a designer, or a student. I mean, it doesn't have to be somebody with formal training in instructional design, but if you talk to students about what works in that environment, what would you like to do when we're gathered, what are the kinds of things, I think then you can really begin to construct a system, if you will, that allows the students to really capture and experience the best parts of both of those pieces. And I really believe that faculty transition in this environment. They can move from the face-to-face to the online if that's a desire. I mean, there may be that in a blended, they find that that's their space.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned an instructional designer. Mm-hmm. What does an instructional designer do? What's their role in this process?
Well, first I should back up. The term instructional design we use kind of as a general term for what we say is the design of the events of learning. Mm-hmm. So what happens when, toward what outcome? There are formal fields of study where people go and learn about the theory, and they learn about the practice, and they learn about the technology. Increasingly, though, we find people coming into the field of instructional design with a variety of backgrounds. They may have been in educational media or a technology area, and all of a sudden they're being pulled into the pedagogical aspect. What I find designers do really well for faculty is to, first of all, listen and express interest in their content area.
And sounding board.
I've never found a faculty member who didn't like that,
you know,
because all of a sudden, yes, it's my content. Right. This is their life passion in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, you're asking questions about, tell me more about meteorology, and they just love it. But secondly, then they're helping the faculty member to think through that instructional design process. So where do we build the interactions in the communications? Where do we build in homework assignments?
Mm-hmm. So they lead them through the options, but ultimately it's the faculty member who makes the decision.
Yeah. And you know, I have to say, I've got a PhD in instructional systems, and so you'd think I'd know this stuff. Mm-hmm. I still, you know, when I try to design my own experiences, one of the first things I do is I go find an instructional designer, because I need somebody to bounce the ideas off, to give me new ideas. Mm-hmm. You know, I get locked into a mode of thinking about things, and
it's like therapists going to see therapists.
It really is. Yeah, and it's great fun. The designers, I think, really enjoy the experience because A, they feel as though they're really contributing to improving the quality of a learning experience, and that's very rewarding. You also get an opportunity to become a little mini expert for a little while. You know, I remember things that I worked with faculty in languages or in aerospace engineering, some of the projects. I said, I remember pieces and parts of that. So it's very stimulating that way because you get a breadth of things. For a faculty member, it could be a little different. They've not had the opportunity in many cases to work on a learning experience in a team environment. And sometimes there's a little hesitation.
The team being the faculty and member, the instruction designer, technologist,
maybe even
media,
a graphic artist.
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So this is a bit new for them. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they'll come in, let's say, a little protective of their domain, you know. But my experience has been very quickly they figure out, these people are all here to help me. These people are all here to help me be successful. And as soon as they adjust to that model and they begin to recognize the value of all these partners, you get this great synergy happen. And we've had it where, you know, the graphic artist is providing pedagogical comments to the faculty member about how to improve a particular aspect of it. And people really get fired up and invested in the outcome. And the faculty respond to this. And so, I mean, this is how we've created some really interesting courses, whether they're face-to-face or online, where you have that team, the best people bringing their best experiences forward and their abilities. I think you really have the opportunity to create good learning experiences for our students.
Now, you know, thinking back on my own career as an assistant professor in pharmacology, I thought I was a wonderful teacher.
Yeah.
You know, I walked in the classroom, I gave these great lectures.
Sure. I bet you were.
Loaded. Actually, I don't think I was.
Yeah.
I honestly don't. Yeah. Looking back now, having had the experience and knowing how to build in interactivity and working with other faculty, I had this, you know, I was never trained how to teach. I was trained as a pharmacologist.
Yeah.
And I think that's true of most faculty.
Yeah.
They don't come to universities with, unlike high school teachers where they're taught how to teach, faculty are thought to be content experts. And I would have loved to have had that opportunity to work with people. These fields didn't exist back in
that's
the 80s and 90s. These are all relatively new.
Yeah. And I'd even play off on that a little bit, Graham. I think when faculty come to a face-to-face experience to teach their content area, you're right, most of them have had very little or no training in how to teach in a face-to-face environment. But they have had X number of years of a student experience.
Mm-hmm.
And they picked the best, you hope, the best teaching practices from people they've interacted with over the years.
Within that limited experience.
Right.
Yep.
So sometimes when you go to a faculty member and talk about the face-to-face environment, you might get a little resistance there about telling me how to teach. I know how to teach. I've been doing this for 25 years, you know. The online environment is different, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's so new. And I have run into very few individuals who weren't grateful for the input in this new space. It's okay to say, you know, this is new to me. Can you help me out?
How, mm-hmm.
Because they don't want to fail.
Right. You're enabling them to be successful.
Absolutely. And I think when you take that approach and provide faculty those that expertise, they really do respond and appreciate it. And I think they quickly get over this idea of, oh, I know how to teach, because you're talking about a virtual space here,
mm-hmm.
and for many individuals, that's brand new.
And many faculty learn things in the online environment that then reinvigorate their teaching in the face-to-face. They get excited about some technology or a pedagogical approach that they then take into the face-to-face classroom and use successfully.
Yeah. I have a story I always like to tell. One of my favorite online instructors in our MBA program expresses to me every time I see him his desire to retire, but he wants to teach from his beef operation in Ohio for the MBA program at Penn State. And in this environment, who knows where they are? He feels it's really the best combination of his lifestyle, what he wants to do, his mm-hmm. avocation, and the opportunity to still be involved in education. And why not? I mean, it's a great way to capture.
Absolutely.
We've also had stories of faculty members who have delayed their retirement because once they got involved in the online environment, it as you say, it really did invigorate their experience to the point where they said, you know, I want to stick around for a little while. I'm enjoying this. They're learning new things. They're having new kinds of experiences. And when that happens, when that occurs, then I think your learners really benefit from that arrangement of the stars, if you will. The faculty are happy. They like this environment. It's not without bumps, but once they get over that and they see the convenience and the power of this learning environment, they respond, and the students really appreciate that as well.
Now, one of the reasons I became a faculty member is that I enjoy teaching. I enjoy interacting with people. I love seeing the light go on mm-hmm. in the students' eyes. That's one of the most rewarding experiences I think you can have in this world. Online, am I losing that? Is the connection with my students less?
That's a good question. And you know, initially when we started out in this field over 10 years now at Penn State, there was a great fear of this. Matter of fact, I don't think a lot of us knew exactly what was going to happen. You know, it was a bit of a leap of faith, to be frank. And we had individuals say to us, you know, I just don't think this is going to work. It's not as personal. I'm really about the relationship with the student. And experience shows us that, and I think now data supports this, that you can have quite rich interactions and communications with students. It is different. There's no doubt about it. It's different than what you do in a face-to-face. I can't read visual clues. I can't watch your body language. I can't hear those tonalities that may change in the way you say things. But
although there is now the video conference
there
capability.
There is, and we're taking advantage of it. And that brings you a whole other dimension. Right. But even in the written word, by good instructional design, by designing activities that not only engage but go through a process of introduction and learning about who that other person is on the other end, we have faculty who develop very good relationships, very healthy relationships, that is in the learning sense with their students. They feel invested. I just had the opportunity last weekend to attend a graduation ceremony for World Campus students who came to University Park, first time receiving their baccalaureate or their master's degree. First time, and they did all this work, and you should see them when they meet their colleagues, but when they meet their faculty members, who they've had maybe 2-3 years of interactions with in a variety of courses.
It's all at a distance.
All at a distance, and it is the neatest thing to just step back and watch that. They're like long lost friends, and because you build these bonds in a way, you do get to know people in a way that's different. I think can be even a little different than in a face-to-face, where we don't always, you know, in a classroom of 20, 30, 50 students, you may not have the chance to learn about individuals. In the online environment, we have forums and we have ways that students can post information about themselves and things.
And to a degree, because they are distance, we overcompensate. We ask students to introduce themselves, tell us about themselves.
Yep.
We may, you know, when we walk into a classroom of 40 students, we don't say, tell me a little bit about yourself and go
not
around
typically.
40 students.
Yep. The other thing is, to that point, students, I think, in particular adult learners, because that's our target population, they really respond to that. They when I ask these students at this graduation ceremony, what made a difference for you? What did the faculty member do to help you succeed in this experience? They said, you know, they cared about me as an individual. They learned about me. They learned that I have a family, or I have a child with special needs, or I'm in the military and I have to leave. In this space, in this learning space, you can do that, and you can get to know the students in a way that is different in the face-to-face, and the students really respond to that and they appreciate it. So it can be quite rich in those ways. They also get to know each other, which is I think again an added social benefit to this learning space.
And one of the things we know about now about how people learn is that if we get them to reflect on their learning experiences, talk about, you know, what I learned, how I learned it, what it meant to me, things like that, that it solidifies learning for them. And that can sort of be the light in the eye. You actually read about the students talking about themselves and what they learned and what it meant to them and so on.
I just did an assignment in a course I teach for faculty. The assignment is to write a reflection paper. Now, this course is only 3 weeks long, and it deals with how to be an effective online instructor. And I was reading about these reflection papers, and it's amazing. It's really rewarding to when people have a time to think about it. Well, what did I learn? What am I taking away from this? And again, it is the fact that they have the time to think it through. They have the experience as a learner. I think is appreciated and helps prepare them for when they go into the role as an instructor.
And you can actually see the growth. If you have them do reflections at the beginning
wonderful.
And reflections towards the end, you can see the change, the impact the learning has had on them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if I were a faculty member interested in starting to teach online, what are the skills that I should be looking to develop initially?
Okay. Good question, and it's something I've been thinking a lot about because increasingly we have faculty instructors, online instructors coming to us who may not have been the original authors of the courses. So we have a little bit of a unique situation here where someone hands you a pre-constructed, mm-hmm. pre-instructional designed course. You don't have a lot of opportunity here to modify it to make it Graham Glenn's course. So I've been thinking a lot about, well, how do I help this individual be successful in this learning environment? And three main areas come to mind to me that I think are really important. I have this model I've been framing out called Competencies for Online Teaching Success. And we have six categories. But the top three in my mind, now it varies by audience when you ask this question, mm-hmm. but the top three for me are...
I think you're qualified probably to make a judgment call.
Well, it's a judgment call. But I think you have to have an understanding of the pedagogy. Mm-hmm. That is, how do people learn? How does the teaching and learning process happen in this online environment? Mm-hmm. In my opinion, the best way to get that, or one of the best ways, is to be a student. Not maybe once, but maybe twice. Mm-hmm. Another way to get that particular competency, I think, if you can, is mirror the instruction of a course. Join it as a co-instructor mm-hmm. in the background. The second category I think that is really important is understanding the operational mechanics. There's no doubt that moving into the online environment is a bit more complicated than the face-to-face. Mm-hmm. We know the face-to-face. I know where the light switches are. Mm-hmm. I know where the projector screen is. I can handle that. I know where the office is of the departmental staff assistant that I can submit my grades to.
I can prep the course an hour before I walk into the classroom and I'm okay.
More spontaneous, right? In this online environment, it's a little bit more challenging because it's virtual. And so submitting grades is done virtually, and interacting with the staff assistant may be done virtually. But you have to know how to do that. You know, you have to know how to get your class roster and how to handle drop ads. And you have to know some of the policies of the university in terms of how to operate an online course. So that's the second one, classroom administration and management. And the third category is something I call technology aptitude. Mm. You've just got to be able to manage a mouse, manage a computer screen, and I don't mean just in a light way. I mean you have to be competent in knowing if you're using Blackboard, for example, as a learning management system. You have to know how to navigate. You have to know how to use the tools, how to generate the reports, how to submit the grades. It's an important dimension. Reading attachments, using the Dropbox, all of those features. You've got to be comfortable with it. I think if you have those top three, the other ones come with time, mm-hmm. and the other ones have to do with a philosophy and an attitude. I don't know if what you start with, well, I do know this. What the attitude you start with is not going to be the same a year out, two mm-hmm. years out, 3 years out. You will change, and just like you did in the classroom.
It's a craft. You're going to grow.
Exactly, exactly. As a matter of fact, the fun of it is the fact that it's a craft.
Right. And of course, the technology is always changing, so you're always going to have to learn.
Absolutely. Building community is the second one. I think that is a bit more evolutionary. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily push that right up front for faculty members unless it's been designed into the course already, and then you have to know how to manage those teams. So if you have collaboration and you're trying to build a learning community, there are some things I think you can do there. The third one has to do with faculty workload management. And I'd like to be able to say that I can teach you all of the ways to save time online, so this is going to be as efficient for you as possible. But truth of the matter is, I can't do that until you've had some experience. I can give you some things up front that I think will help you save time. The next time I talk to you, say it's a year later and we're having the same conversation, I might give you some more. Third year, mm-hmm. You've got to allow people to have the experience of what it feels like to struggle, to have a heavy workload before they're ready to say, oh, here's some strategies that might help you. So my top three really have to do with the teaching process, classroom administration, and the technology aptitude. And then I think the other ones, the workload management and the philosophy and the community building, are something that you sort of grow into.
Okay. Well, Larry, it's been great having you on the show.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you're interested in following up with some additional questions for Larry, you can post questions on the blog on the TLT website at tlt.stonybrook.edu. In addition, because Larry was a keynote speaker for us this morning, we will have a recording of his 1.5 hour presentation as part of our conference. I hope you'll join me next time for the next exciting innovation in education TV show. Thank you.
Thank you.